You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Elena Coloni. Elena is an artist, and she's here talking with us. Thanks so much, Elena, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You're seen in a number of ways, a research artist and an artist that's pulling so many different things together and working in different fields. Rather than talk about your studio practice in particular, can you tell us a little bit about how you're approaching projects or approaching the research and work you do to make work?
Yeah, that's great. Well, hello everybody, first of all. I define my work as sort of research, art, practice, and there's a lot of discussion around what is art in relation to research. And I think, first of all, I make things and contextualize them and within broader contexts. But the kind of work I do, which is quite a lot open to others and participatory, shall we say, and relates a little bit to what Kester defines as literal, but also goes out in terms of how can I define these? It deals with different contexts within knowledge, but also different. I'm kind of lost.
That's okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should discuss one particular project to illustrate that.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm doing at the moment is I'm working as, I guess, director of a project, which is an umbrella project. It is called Rock Fluid, and it's an outcome of residency at the Faculty of Experimental Psychology in Cambridge. And the main idea behind that is to work on the relationship between memory, perception, and places, and how our memories affect our sense of identities in relation to places. And so to do this, I've developed a series of site-specific self-contained projects in different places, and so within urban contexts as well as rural contexts. So the most recent one of these was in Sicily, in a kind of a small city called Castelvetrano. And I'm just mentioning this because it's obviously just coming back from there.
Sure.
But also very important because this particular one was to try and test a dialogic approach that Danilo Dolci developed in the 50s and 60s and adopted there, and had a quite strong political and social impact in the area. So, I mean, my sort of modest response to that was to think about his way of kind of discussing ideas with others and getting others to sort of come up with their own understanding of a number of issues related to their place, and how to solve problems and how to overcome what at the time, sort of 50s and 60s, was a quite difficult social situation there. So the way I've been developing this one, for instance, was to meet different people in the area and start thinking about spaces for what kind of draw spaces of relations among people, in a sense, and so that they will become then more tangible to then translate them into little sculptures and what I call hand sculptures that people can actually hold and then sort of offer to someone else to then hold together. So in a sense, to try to find a meeting point.
That makes sense. And so let me ask, how does an audience then experience that? The idea of investigating memories is so evocative in so many ways. It seems to be such rich terrain in a sense to look into, and we all have an intimate relationship to memories. How does the audience experience this kind of the research, the final product?
thing is, I've done different projects whereby memories were actually kind of exchanged verbally, whereas in this particular one, and I've become a bit more aware of the fact that that I would not want to use the kind of the material that I was given by participating people, because that's not, because I think that can be problematic. And so I've realized that actually much more important was to build a kind of physical and social relation through a kind of pre-linguistic dialogue, if that is possible at all. And I think it is, actually, because you can sort of go towards someone with a little object or something, you know, like it's just as simple as, like, you give somebody an apple and they will take it and bite it if they want. Otherwise, they'll just turn away. And it's the same very simple gesture. So you give them an object that has a shape that you become interested in, and then you want to interact with. And so that's what I've what I wanted to test and try, and people reacted quite well to that. So it's not really, like in this play, it's not many people experience contemporary art, or they don't on every everyday basis, because it's just not you know, that kind of place. And and so to do something like what we've done with a number of students in the main square, to go to other people and offer them this experience, was something quite important, I feel, and I was told it was, actually, because then there were people who would have wanted an explanation, and we gave it to them afterwards, of course, but they responded to the little sculptures in a very spontaneous way. They extended their arm and then tried to find a place to put their hand around it and kind of studied it, and very gently. Then we have had a conversation based on that very simple and small experience. And I think that it was a very good, in a sense, response to what I was trying to do. And hopefully Danilo Dolci, this kind of guy who's no longer with us, would have liked it as well. But so that's one of the things that I've done recently.
That's very interesting. And yeah, go on. Before then?
No, before then, as I said, I had used, I did tours around the city, so in Cambridge, for instance, and I did where we were exchanging information about, or we were kind of, we were going to places that people would have decided to take me to share their memories. But then again, I had a real trouble in deciding what to do with what we had shared together, because the moment was a very important moment. The present moment of recollection was so important for all of us sharing our memories. But that is something I would have never used for, as a documentation of a project. It's something I didn't want to share with the other public, because it was very private, a very private moment. So I realized that I would have, there was that kind of responsibility as an artist, that that wasn't really the way I would have dealt with memories and with meeting. Yeah.
And how is that resolved? I mean, that is a very intriguing point to come to. How do you resolve that, working with all those memories in a way are so incredibly precious? It's amazing to have them and to share them, if it is possible. But at the same time, yes, it's also so intimate and private. How is that resolved?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think that with all the participatory work that is around now, I think that a lot of people think about numbers and kind of the more people you get, the better, whereas I'm very interested in the one-to-one, or kind of in having a true experience in the exchange that will enrich both of us, myself and whoever is there with me for this exchange, or in a small group where you can actually appreciate that particular moment. So I think but it's difficult to work like this, obviously, because then you can share only up to a point. You can't really share the intimacy of that encounter. Well, you can't, I think, and I don't even want to. So I think that to propose a kind of intimacy that is through an object in that way that we can share, it's you know, sort of without using words in that particular moment, I think is more effective. I don't know. I found it particularly effective, yeah. So, yeah, that's, but I want to say that in terms of interdisciplinarity, I just wanted to say that all this really was based on a series of exchanges with professionals from other disciplines, which is something I really appreciate. And because then I have a chance to understand a little bit better where what I'm doing can make sense, as well as within, you know, the boundaries of the art world, which I really find a little bit claustrophobic at times. But
different than the science model, really, right? The kind of exploration you're doing, and the fact that it's always in some ways collaborative. It is more science model. The art model is
perhaps
more ego driven, and it's just about your work and this one thing, kind of.
Yeah, it's not that I'm saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that I find it for the way I am generally. I think it's to go out and talk to others with different languages, because obviously every particular subject has its own language. Then I learn a lot, and it's really rewarding. And so, for instance, when I had this exchange with a scientist here in Cambridge, where her specialism was this, you know, the relationship between memory and perception, and so the particular moment of recollection was really important for her as well. So when we met and we discussed our understanding of what that meant, was really magical. But I think, well, she did say that she gained a lot in terms of kind of understanding how my mind was processing ideas as well. And I think it's mutually beneficial when it's like, you know, putting yourself in the position of the other and seeing yourself from that position is always very useful. So you can see what's not very, you know, what's not working as well as because so you become a bit more objective, which sometimes is also useful, I suppose. I think it, for me it's really a good thing to do.
As you move forward, your next work or your next project is you research first and investigate. Where do you see this process going and the evolution of it? Is there a trajectory that you see this moving along, or is it?
I think that at the moment it's getting more of I think the psychology and philosophy were always areas of understanding for my work that have been really important to me, but that obviously at the moment, because of Danilo Dolci's approach and the sociological aspect of it, is becoming really, really important. But it's all linked, and I don't know where that will take me, because I generally work by intuition, even though I seem very rational when I talk about it. So I tend to like meet one person and have a wonderful conversation, and then all of a sudden something will come to my mind and I will have a eureka moment. And, you know, just like any other artist. And so at the moment, I think I will take the approach I used in Sicily to my next presentation, which will be here in Cambridge. There's a celebration for the 75th anniversary of the Gropius building that is here in Cambridge. And I've worked on responding to the site. And this is in the rural area of Cambridge. So everything is to do with responding to this site within this rural context, which is very different than, obviously, an urban context. But I think that what interests me is to focus on the idea of, you know, the marginal, what is not the center, and which is the same as to say, you know, the interdisciplinary and not necessarily being focused on one thing, but focusing on many others. So the rural is it's becoming the center, and yet there is a very specific way of perceiving things, leaving things, and appreciating what's around you. So I think something will come out of that, but I'm not sure what it is yet. But so my next presentation, or my next exhibition, and series of roundtables with friends, including curators, theoreticians, and other artists, will be in October time. And so,
and then that will all revolve around the reaction to the Gropius building, if I'm not mistaken.
That will be these will be informed by a theoretician, Christina Botgen, who will then read it in terms of metamodernism, and so I look forward to have this conversation with her and see how my work can fit into that kind of reading, which I hadn't really, but I think it will probably make sense. It's the idea of kind of tackling this aesthetic of modernist aesthetic is around, you know, we see it on the internet so much now, and it's
sure.
Crazy. I mean, it's become so hip. Everybody's doing collages and things like that, which I haven't got anything against, but I'm just wondering, you know, what does that mean and why? So, and I guess this lens of metamodernism is quite an interested one to read through what I've been doing here as well. And so we'll see what comes after that, yes. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting.
I don't know, it's very abstract. Talking about it without images or things is quite abstract, but then again...
Well, it is. And in the last one, maybe we should just end up, what would be a possible manifestation of something visual from what you were just describing?
It will be, as much as I recently developed these sort of what I call performative sculptures, but little ones for the hand sculptures, I think I will do it will be a similar approach whereby the sculptures will be played with in a similar way, but possibly a little bit that will relate to the body and the architecture. So it will be something like that. And but I will develop the work in collaboration with local residents, as well as I've done down in Sicily. So there'll be like three workshops, and through those, I do have an idea in my mind, but I think through those, then there will be we'll go through a series of very specific decisions as to what kind of outcomes these will become. But let's say participatory sculptures, that's probably the way to describe it, yeah.
I like that. I wish you the best with that project, and I wish I could come down and see it.
Come down and see us. Why not? Let me know.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.